Good evening. I knew that was going to be maybe a little bit different after the first two said good evening and there was silence. Let's just try it again. Good evening.
Good evening.
There we go. Every group is a little different, and that's okay. I will tell you that whenever I am preaching, I do appreciate some response. So if you can dig deep within yourselves tonight, and if you agree, say amen. Is that fair? Is that fair? Yes, okay. All right. I remember as a young man going to things such as this. I don't consider myself old. I'm 42, and so I'm not old. But I can remember going to things like this, and it was people you didn't really know, and sometimes it was a bit stiff, right? And as everyone was filing in tonight, I felt a little bit of that stiffness, right? So as I was pondering, what would be something that we could do to help some of that maybe dissipate a bit? An idea came to me. So we're going to take just a few minutes here and go and find someone that you don't know all that well and just tell them why you're excited to be here tonight. It's not that hard. I would ask you to be honest, though. If it's for the activities and the refreshments afterwards, tell them that. It's okay. We chuckle about that, but if that really is the case, God already knows. Might as well be honest, right? Might as well be honest. So we're just going to take a few minutes. Just stand up and go find someone that maybe you don't know all that well. Introduce yourself and tell them why you are excited to be here tonight. Can we do that? All right, let's do it. Amen. All right. Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. Thank you for doing that tonight. And we trust as the weekend goes on that we can continue to worship together. I would like to say I was not meaning to shame anyone if they were looking forward to coming for the fellowship. That's actually right in an order. That's godly that we come to meet other young people that have the same goals and aspirations that we do, and build relationships to propel us into the kingdom of God and help us along, right? I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. Maybe most of you know who I am. I don't know who most of you are. My name is Mark Eicher, and if God gives my wife and I breath until May the 10th, we'll have been married 18 years. I already mentioned I'm 42, and we have four beautiful children. Shayla is 12, Cade is 9, Gage is 6, and Easton is 3. In our community, there was a nasty stomach bug going around over the last several weeks, and my family had gotten at the beginning of the week and wanted to give ourselves just a little bit more time to make sure we were okay. But we're hoping they can be here tomorrow evening. I sure hope they can be. It's always better to have them here with me. I'd also like to commend the two young men that led out so far this evening with devotions and singing. I think it's important that our young people have responsibilities like that. And y'all done a fine job. Thank you. Thank you for devotions and for the singing this evening. As you've seen on your pamphlet, I felt led whenever I was asked and pondered to speak about being separate. Be ye separate. It's found many times in the Bible. Be separate. It seems like it's a plea. It seems like it's a concern of God's that his people remain unspotted from the world and that they remain separate. And we want to look at some of those reasons. Why is that? The title of the message tonight, though, if we're talking about separation, what kind of separation are we talking about? What is being separate? What does that mean? What does that look like? If I were to ask any of you, or all of you, and you were really honest with yourself, myself included, I would answer it this way. And if I would say, how many of you just like to really stand out like an oddball? Is that's probably not just an aspiration that we wake up in the morning, right? Like, how much can I just stick out like a sore thumb today? It's probably not. And that's a natural, it would be alarming if someone was honestly said that they would like to do that, right? It wouldn't be normal. But sometimes that desire to blend in gets us in trouble because the Bible says that we're in the world, but not of the world. It actually doesn't say that. The idea is there. Those words are not actually in the Bible. But Jesus alluded to that in John 17, that we're in the world. And he prayed to the Father that God not take us out of the world, but that we might remain faithful, right? So those are some of the things we want to look at tonight. But I have some questions I'd like for you to ponder, and I will hopefully God's word will either answer them directly or indirectly as we go through the passage tonight. And maybe as I ask these, the text this evening is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can turn there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. But as you're turning there, some questions to ponder. We are to be separate. God tells us to be separate. But have you ever considered by how much? Just a little bit? Should it be noticeable to the world that we're different than them? We might answer, yes, it should be. But maybe to rephrase that question, as we each examine our lives, is it noticeable? Is it noticeable to the world? Why do we need to be separate? What's the big deal? Why can't we just live? Why is sin or / the world so offensive to God? Why is it so offensive? Why does God take sin so seriously? Or you could say lukewarmness. 2 Corinthians. Let's get right into the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 through chapter 7 verse 1. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So you see, that's where there's a chapter break right there. But the next verse, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this group of young people and adults, Lord. And I just pray that our mind could be drawn to you. We could draw closer to you, Lord. Maybe this would be a good time, Lord, for refocusing. If we're getting sidetracked with the things of this world, and we could just refocus on you solely, heartily, completely, please be with us tonight, and may your word speak through me, Lord, tonight. We love you, God, and it is a privilege to be called your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we look at this, what is being separate? I have it broke down in three ways. The need to be separate, the way to be separate, and the benefits of being separate. Sometimes we look at being separate as just all negative. Young people, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be separate from the world. It's a blessing. You know, when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, and they got out in the wilderness for a while, and all of a sudden what happened? They looked back, and they started lusting after the leeks and the garlics of bondage. That seems pathetic, doesn't it? They're free. They're free. But how many times as believers are we free? We've been freed by the Lord Jesus Christ, but we look back at sin, and we start, man, our eyes are backwards towards the bondage, and our flesh is lusting after the bondage of sin. But God says, be ye separate. Look at me, he's saying. Don't look at the world. The word separate in this passage is talking about to set off by boundary, to limit, to exclude, to divide. There's a separation. It's purposeful. We don't just go through life doing whatever comes next. We have a plan. There's actually a plan in the Bible, right? What do we refer to it as? The plan of salvation, right? We have a plan. We're sold out. I do want to note, I am sharing with you what the Bible says. But the Bible also clearly teaches something called sanctification. And it means that as a 15-year-old, I still have some growing to do. You know what it also means? As a 42-year-old, I still have some growing to do. Or as a 70-year-old, I still have some growing to do. Don't be overwhelmed when we read scriptures like this, sometimes that are very black and white. Sometimes it's just this overwhelming sense. It's like, am I even saved? My intent is never to make saved people question their salvation. But I do believe that when we're just mouthing words and not truly saved, we should be confronted with scriptures like this. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is very clear. So we want to look at some of those things tonight. In Romans, we want to look at the need to be separate, right? Why is there a need? Well, in Romans 3 verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. There's no one that's born righteous. Isn't that amazing? There's no one that's born righteous. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Regardless if you grew up in the church of Lamb of God or Salem or Cuba or you fill in the blank. Well, I was born into a church. You might have been born into a church, but you were never born or grandfathered into the kingdom of God. Never. Regardless of your parents or your last name or your granddaddy being the best bishop of all time or whatever, it's just not enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. We're in that all. We're in that all. When you think about God's glory, do you think about what is that saying? I just recently read some verses in Ezra, and it talked about doing God's pleasure. That's part of what makes us separate from the world, that as believers, we should aim, we should strive to please God. We get up in the morning. What would God be pleased with today? The opposite of that is pleasing myself. The opposite of that is getting up and saying, what feels good? What's going to feel good for Mark today? What's going to make me comfortable? That's for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. The other reason that there's a need is because in Matthew chapter 7, I want to read a couple of verses in 13 through 14. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Young people, I fear that we have grown accustomed or are growing accustomed with ideology that there's somehow these two roads are not so far apart. That somehow, yeah, they're different, okay? They're different, but they're kind of running parallel with one another. That is a lie from the devil. They're nowhere near one another. I would rather tell you like this, that if I'm walking on the narrow path to Jesus Christ, I'm walking this way. But the path to destruction is directly behind me going that way. So that you cannot travel both roads at once. I would argue that the only way to keep contact or ideas or if you're focusing on Jesus, far too many times, yes, we're on the narrow road, but we're doing this. We're walking backwards and we're looking, man, what are they doing? Oh, wow. Oh, wow, look, that looks kind of cool. I wouldn't want to go there. I wouldn't want to be there, but you know, oh wow, we're kind of backing our way down the narrow road. I will tell you this, I've done that. And it does not lead you closer to Jesus Christ. Because where our focus is, what we're focused on, person, place, or thing that we're focused on, is where we go. That's the direction that we go. There are only two kingdoms. So there are only two roads. There are only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of righteousness. It's interesting to me, young people, brothers and sisters, it's interesting to me, the Bible never talks about a third kingdom. There's just two. And each kingdom has a leader. The kingdom of heaven is God Almighty. The kingdom of this world is Satan. God is loving and invites. Satan is cruel and enslaves. So while things might look appealing for a time, Satan is a master of that, making things look appealing. Not just look appealing, but he makes them feel appealing. He makes them sound appealing. And one day we open up and we're actually in a prison cell. And we don't know how we got there. It happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, lest someone is confused this evening. I am not saying that one day you're a Christian and the next day you stumble and fall and you're no longer saved. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think we get jerked all around. We're saved and then we're not. But neither do I feel, neither does the Bible teach, that because I'm saved, I'm just good for all of eternity. I can't ever lose it. We have to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there's two roads, two kingdoms, and each road has a destination. The broad road, the destruction that it's talking about here, is the lake of fire, which has brimstone and fire and torment. The narrow road is God in all of his glory. It's heaven. They have different destinations. With what I've shared so far and the scriptures that I've read thus far, is it a big deal if we're separate from the world? It is. It's a very big deal. Our lives depend upon it. If we're separate, if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Very, very, very different. I want to impress on you all tonight, the Bible is full of twos when it comes to serving Jesus. You either serve him or you don't. There's not really third options. The Bible is full of twos. Which one are you in? Which one am I in? I would like to also say that sometimes we can fall into traps that we don't want to be like the world, so we look at the world for direction. And if they go left, we go right. And if they go right, we go left because we don't want to be like the world. That's not the separation that God is talking about either. Listen very closely, young people. You can appear to be separate, but have the same ideology as the world. You understand what I'm saying? On the inside, you can be the same. You can have the same passions. You can have the same desires. You can have the same goals. So our goal is not just to be different. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, what the Bible is trying to tell us tonight, is that if we love Jesus Christ with all of our heart, we will be different. We will be different. We don't have to try. We don't have to look at them for direction. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do what he says. And they're not doing what he says. We will be different. The other thing I would tell you is that as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the separation should be getting greater. It should be getting greater. I said this before. Really quick, just for a thought exercise. Would we say that the world, do you feel like, and now's a good time for some response, do you feel like the world is getting closer or farther away to Jesus Christ? Farther away, right? Farther away. Okay, here's where it gets a little squirrely. Do we feel like, would you say, that the church is getting farther, the church as a whole, right? Not just this church, not just our church, as a whole. But I'll say this, Anabaptists are certainly included in this. Do we feel like as a whole, from your observation, that the church is getting closer or farther away from the world? We have a problem. What does that say? Is the church getting closer or farther away from God then? Do you understand my thought process? And God's heart throughout Scripture is He begs and He implores His children. He did the children of Israel, and He is us today. Be separate. I want to be your father. I want you to be my children. Be separate. These two roads, kingdoms, destinations, they are very different. Look again in the text in 2 Corinthians. I want to run down through some words here. How it gives a mind picture of extremes. The first one is a believer. It says, don't be because he's talking to believers here. So he's saying, believers, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? To yoke up differently. To have different goals. I will say this, some of the areas that we are probably the most tempted to ignore this. A couple of the areas that we are the most tempted to ignore this is in marriage at times, and also in business. You know, as good Anabaptist people, if we can make some money, right, and be good stewards of what God has given us, right, we're going to do it, right? Like, typically. Having said that, I'm maybe calling out some things that I notice among us as Anabaptist people, but I stand before you this evening unashamed to be called an Anabaptist. I am unashamed. Seems like there's a little shift that we kind of cover our head and we bow our head. I'm an Anabaptist. Amen. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. My salvation is not in being an Anabaptist. But as I study the scriptures, this is the closest that I know how to live in obeying all of the scriptures. Don't ever be ashamed of your heritage, ever. You've been gifted something that is so beautiful, so wonderful. Grow on it, build on it. Continue to go. I love the potential of young people. That was me not too long ago. I feel like it wasn't too long ago. But I'm also smart enough to know when you hear 42, most of your ages, it sounds ancient. And it's okay. It is. 60s getting younger and younger all the time. But these are very, very different sides. Believer, don't be yoked up. Don't be yoked with someone that doesn't share the same goals with you. Why would you do that, right? I think that's what it's saying here. Why would you do that? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, what's the word fellowship? It means participation. And I would say this tonight, young men and young women. Guard your friends closely. Guard them. As a believer, I'm not called to be a buddy with anyone. I'm called to be friendly and share the love of Jesus. We live in Butler, Indiana. We farmed for a while before that. And God called my wife and I to Butler. How many of you know Butler, right? Okay. So you know what I'm saying here. It wasn't on our top 100 places to move in life, right? But God called us there to tell people about Jesus. He called us there to tell people about Jesus. And I would say this. We have had to guard our children and also our hearts that were there to witness for Jesus Christ, not be their buddies or close friends. Does that make sense? Guard your close friends. After all, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In observing, I have observed that compromise in a Christian's life almost always carries a face. Seldom do we just wake up one morning and we say, you know what? After reading God's word, I don't know why I've just felt like divorce and remarriage was always wrong. I don't see it that way anymore. It hardly ever happens that way. But you know how it happens? You know how it creeps in? When I have a son or a daughter or a parent or a close friend or a neighbor that exhibits godly principles, get divorced and remarried, and then all of a sudden it's like I falter. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but they seem like such good people. Well, I want to remind you of something in Matthew 7. It says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. By your fruits you will know them. Right? I'm not meaning to sound judgmental tonight, but my heart's desire, brothers and sisters, is that we can take the word of God and actually just believe what it says. I tell people I'm just stupid enough to believe what the Bible says. And I don't need a PhD. I don't need it. Because the Bible was written for the likes of me. We can just believe what it says. It says that sin is sin. And we can believe that. So what fellowship, what participation hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Communion means partnership. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord or accordance has Christ with Belial? What part or portion or share has a believer with an infidel? Young people, guard your hearts. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? But I'll say this. Satan is good at what he does. He's had lots of experience. And he's very seldom coming up with new sins. They're just regurgitated. But he's coming up with new ways of presenting them. Guard your hearts. What is a way that we don't have to worry about deception? There's two ways, I believe. And one is immersing ourselves in the Word of God and just committing to do what it says. It sounds easy enough, right? Just do what it says. The other is to constantly make sure my focus is on God Almighty, and I'm taking my commands from Him. We talked a little bit about the need to be separate. Different destinations, different kingdoms, different roads. I promise you, young people, and sponsors, and Mark, I promise you, we don't want the earth's reward. I promise you, we don't want their reward. Why would we want to travel their path? if we don't want their reward. The straight and narrow path, that's the path for me. Let's fight for it. What's the way to be separate? So we looked at the need to be separate. Let's look at the way to be separate. Well, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The way to be separate is allow Jesus to cleanse us. We don't have it within us to do it ourselves. We're not good enough. I referenced this a little bit earlier. Regardless of what home you were born into, it's not good enough to cleanse you from your sin. It's just not. We need the blood of Christ. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 4, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Young people, there's pastors out there, there's ideas out there that God just comes to us wherever we are. That much is true. But they give the idea that God just kind of comes and just joins us in what we are dealing with, sin-wise, and he's just there. I want to tell you this evening, God never joins Mark. He never has joined Mark in the gutter. But he's pulled me out of it and cleaned me. There's a big difference. God never joins you in your sin. Ever. He pulls you out and gives you freedom. I'm not saying, I don't want you to think that, I'm saying God's not a loving God or understanding. I'm not saying that at all. But God's not a God that gets down in the gutter and gets dirty with me. God's not a God that comes down and joins me as I battle with porn. Or worldly ideas, or the love of money. But God is giving a plea to me. My child, I want to pull you out. I want you to be free. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to be bound. I shared with the church here not too long ago. And I want to be careful in saying this, but it has to come out. It has to come out. That sometimes we get caught up in the idea that, yeah, I'm saved, and I want to be free. And yes, I know that Jesus wants me to be free, but I've just not been given all the tools yet. Well, I'd like to ask us this evening, if I want to be free, and Jesus wants me to be free, why am I not free? Is it not enough? What tools do I need? Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? I believe we're left with two scenarios. I believe. One is, I probably don't want to be free quite as bad as what I think I do. I'm probably not just as done with the sin as what I think I am. Personal testimony. As a younger man, I dealt with pornography. I dealt with it. And I battled. But many times Mark was battling on his own. And I wondered why I couldn't have victory. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. It doesn't mean that I don't face any struggles or trials today. That's not what I'm saying. If you're expecting that, you need to go back to the cross and see what Jesus says about those that take up my cross. like we're in a war. We're going to fight. So fight. That's what we signed up for. So fight. Fight the Christian faith. Fight the battle that's been set before you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But when Mark found victory, it was when Mark was done with that sin. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's when I was done. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, one, we may not be done with sin quite like maybe we think we are. The second reason is maybe even equally as terrifying, but it's one I think we have to consider. And that is, maybe I've been Christianized by people around me. And possibly, I personally have never had an experience with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Which means possibly I don't have the indwelling and the power of His Holy Spirit. It makes me very nervous to share some of this, young people, because God forbid any of you are born again believers and you leave here questioning your salvation. That's not my heart. That's not my heart. And if you are someone that struggles with the assurance of salvation and you have the Holy Spirit of God residing inside of you, go to someone. Go to someone. Go to a rooted and grounded brother or sister in Christ. And have them walk with you. After all, that's what they're there for. Isn't it amazing that God didn't just put us here alone to try to figure it out? He surrounded us with godly people. Use them. But it is something that we have to at least consider. Because God didn't put us here to be powerless. He put us here to not just overcome, but be more than overcomers. Means He didn't put us here just to survive, but to thrive in Him. We're going to fight. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's just a bed of roses. It's not. It's not. But we have what it takes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such is common unto man." What's the next phrase? Anybody know? That's the last part of the verse. Very well. But there's a phrase in there. It says, thank you, but God is faithful, and with every temptation, what you just quoted, He makes a way of escape. Can we just praise His name tonight that He didn't put us here all alone. He didn't leave us powerless. He's given us what we need. But we have to look to Him. That's the way to be separate from the world, brothers and sisters, is to look to Him for the strength. I have neighbors that exhibit godly morals. Does that automatically make them godly? No. No, it doesn't. I cringe when I hear people say, we need to pray that this nation would return to be a Christian nation. This nation was never a Christian nation. It was founded upon godly morals. It didn't make the nation godly. I'm not dissing the United States. I'm not. But it was always part of the kingdom of this world. It was always there. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. I've seen so many people get sidetracked. Christians that I admire. Unless I sound like a hypocrite, even myself at times. So easy to get sidetracked Let's just be honest, right? Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Republican, Democrat. I implore you to block out the noise. That's a kingdom we're not supposed to be involved in. Amen? But our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus himself said this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my followers do what? They'd fight. Two different kingdoms. It's a way to be separate, to look to Jesus. I need to keep moving on here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Remember, we're talking about way to be separate. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but the word transformed in that verse carries so much power and authority. It's personal for me. Just as I trust it's personal for you. Because you know what? I remember being transformed. And it's all done, isn't it? I'm done, right? No. Some of that transformation came this week. It came today. It'll come tomorrow. It's ongoing. And be ye transformed in the renewing. Renewing is a present tense, right? In the renewing of your mind. It's ongoing. Don't be discouraged. But that's the way to be sustained in being separate from the world. We're allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be transforming our minds and thinking on his things instead of the filth that the world has to offer. Not everything is just sin. And this is where it gets dicey. Not everything is just sin, right? Sports are not sin. But how easy is it for them to turn into an idol? And then it is. That's the trickiness. That when we're looking at Jesus, he defines in my life. He tells me, Mark. I'll tell you another story. I came here just full of Mark's dirty laundry, I guess. I'll tell you another story. As a young man, and this is going to sound just ancient to you all, back in 2006. Whoa, way back then, right? Back in 06, I grew up in Ohio, and so I grew up a fairly avid Ohio State Buckeyes fan. And who groaned? It's okay. And I loved it. And then they played the Florida Gators in the national title game, and it wasn't even close. And you know what broke my heart? You know what convicted me? Is I had trouble sleeping that night. But it's not an idol. Like, I'm good. Next time you call yourself a fan of any sports team, remember what fan is short for. It's fanatic. Can we be a fanatic for anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ and call ourselves Christians? You see how subtle it creeps in? I repented of that, and I'm free of that. I'm free of that idolatry. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm free of that idolatry. When we're being transformed, I said it earlier, there should be a growing separation. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. Those words are so powerful. Read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and then tell me, what tool do you still need to be an overcomer from sin? Like, what tool are you missing? It's all right there. Well, that's easier said than done. Of course it is, because we have to act out our beliefs. Of course it's hard. I'd ask you again, what'd you sign up for? If any of us became a Christian to have an easy life, we were deceived. But I trust we became saved because there was a void in our hearts, and we wanted that void filled, and we wanted to be fulfilled. I can say it's not always easy, but I am fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What are the benefits of being separate? It says at the end of this chapter, look at the text again. In verse 17 it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And then what does the next phrase say? "And I will receive you." In order to be received of the Lord, we must be separate from the world. These are the benefits of being separated from the world. Being separate from the world, being joined to God Almighty. He will receive us. It says in verse 18 that he will be our father. And we will be his sons and daughters. I don't know what that does to you tonight when you think of that. But it gives me such a longing for heaven. When I see that right here on earth, God will be my father, and I will be his son, and you will be his daughters. Doesn't it just make you want to go home? Like, isn't there just a connection there? And I know I'm talking to a group of young, vibrant young people. And when you hear the word death, you think, oh my word, it's so far out there. And in the normal cycle of life, you would be right. But guess what? Life isn't always normal. And there's a good chance that in a group this size, there's a good chance that some of you will be called home to glory before I will be. It's not a prophetic word. It's not a prediction. I'm just saying it's possible, right? It's possible. Let's have ourselves separated unto God, and we will be separate from the world. You, brothers and sisters, we will be. We'll be different. What makes that young lady, even though she's treated poorly, respond that way? See, it's different. It's separate. We're not trying to just be separate, but because we have the power of Jesus in our lives, we are separate. We're different. I buy and sell and work on forklifts. And I get into different businesses there in Butler. And one is a fabrication shop. And they have a lot to do with hydraulics. And two of the men that are in there, I get to talk to, right? And it's a blessing. And the other day, it's probably a month ago. I was in there, and the one man is hard. His heart is hard. And we started talking. And you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't know. If I talk about Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to say. I can remember that as a younger person. Fear of man is real, right? It needs to be crucified. But I don't know what I'm going to say. But this is what I tell you guys. This is a testimony. And I'll tell you this. I mean this from the depths of my heart. All honor and glory goes to God Almighty because it's him that works in us. Is that right, Terrell?
It's not you and I. It's him that works in us. But as I was talking to this man, and it was a fiery conversation, which many of my conversations are. It was a fiery conversation. And we were, and one of the questions he asked me is, how can this God that you talk about allow all this evil in the world? And I got to share with him scripture. Scripture that I was not even thinking about at the time, but scripture that quickly came to my mind. It's called, young people, it's called the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what I've been blessed by? We have to put it there first. We put it there, and his job is to bring it back to our remembrance. But if it's not there, how do we know it? How do we know it at all? As he was finishing up the conversation, he leaned across the table and he said, there's just something different about you. And I said, of course there is. I love Jesus and you don't. Of course there is. I love Jesus and I love his word. And you're not saved. He says, and you're not wrong there. He was very matter of fact. In chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What that verse is saying, young people, what that verse is saying, as we cry out to the Lord and as our focus is on him, and he brings things to our remembrance and to our mind that need to be changed. That's how we cleanse ourselves. We obey. We obey. Very quickly, what is being separate? We have the need to be separate, the way to be separate, the benefits of being separate. I've said this before. Our young people maybe fall asleep while I'm saying this because they've heard it many times. This earth as we know it, as broken and run down as it is, to the believer, this is as close to hell as it gets. This is it. This is as bad as it gets. And sometimes it's bad, but this is it. To the unbeliever, as broken and ran down and vile as this world is, this is as close to heaven as it gets for them. There's quite a gap between the two roads, young people. There's such a gap that they're in completely opposite directions. I'd ask you this evening, who have you been focusing on? Who have you been getting your direction from in your life? Is it God and his word? Or is it the thrills of this world, which are thrilling for a season, very short season? I feel led this evening for us to have prayer. And as whenever we're done praying, just leave your heads bowed. I guess what I'm asking is, there's two things that come to mind. If you have never, ever experienced the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your heart from sin, and you've just been trying on your own, and you're tired. Tonight's the night. Or if you are saved and you God convicted you this evening that you've become sidetracked. You've been backing your way down the narrow road looking at the leeks and the garlics of bondage. And you feel the need to repent of that tonight. You feel the Holy Spirit is prompting you to repent. Then come forward and do so. What I would ask is, if you're in either camp, that it be sincere. And it not just be an emotional moment, but that you'd be that you're sincere. Because what we never want is for us to make a false profession and we leave here and go back to the same person that we were when we got here. So I guess I'm saying I believe God wants it to be serious. God wants it to be real. I'm not trying to talk you out of responding. You know, is the Holy Spirit of God convicting you this evening and being separate unto God? I mean, after all, who here does not want God to be your father? Who here doesn't want to be a son or a daughter? He has such richness in store for each one of you. I could say every one of your names and mine. He has such richness in store for us. Turn to him. That's where fulfillment is at. It's not in the pleasures of sin. I promise you. I promise you, it's not. I've been there. It's not worth exploring. I promise you, it's not worth exploring. God Almighty is worth exploring, and you'll never, ever get done. He's so massive. There's so much there. He's so massive. May we love him so and just desire to do his pleasure and not my own. Sin and the world are so offensive to God because God doesn't just have holiness. He is holy. He's the definition of holiness and righteousness. We get ours from him. He doesn't get his from anywhere else. He's the author of holiness and righteousness. We're going to pray, and then would you have a song that we could sing? Just short, I'm not going to prolong it, and if anyone would like to respond, please do so. If the Holy Spirit of God is prompting you, if the Word of God touched you this evening and you feel convicted and would like to make that right with the Lord, great. If everyone here is already right with God, even better. Praise the Lord. Continue to walk in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your graciousness. Lord, thank you for giving us another day that we can serve you. Thank you for your holy word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for the group that's here tonight. If there's something that needs to be made right, Lord, I pray they'd have the courage to do so. Lord, that it could be a real and true confession and profession of their faith. Lord, would you fill each one of these young people and middle-aged people and older people, would you fill each one of us with just a desire to serve you? And may we be more holy tomorrow than we were today as we grow in you. Lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Leave your heads bowed as we sing, and if God has touched someone, respond accordingly. One more verse. We're not going to prolong it. One more verse, and then we're done. Yes, Lord, thank you that we are able to come boldly before your throne, spirit of humility, Lord. Thank you for the promise that when we confess our sin to you and turn from our wickedness, you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God, for that this evening. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you. Pray for this young man that came forward, Lord. Would you just fill him with your spirit? Would you fill him with the riches that you have in store for him? Lord, help him to focus so solely on you. Give him what he stands in need of this evening, Lord. I pray that for each one of us, Lord. Maybe some didn't come forward. Made commitments in their seats, Lord. I just pray that you would reach down, Lord, and pull us out. The areas that we need pulled out of, and wash us off and make us clean. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one of the men maybe come forward and pray with this young man or speak with him, and then I'll turn it over to whomever from the local church. Would someone come and kneel with this young man? Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm.